Psalms 111:10 is going to be the scripture text, but I titled the message, Turn Off the News and Fear God, /Lord. Turn off the good news and fear God. There's so many times that we go through in life that things happen. For example, in this pandemic, when this pandemic took place, I was scared. I had to finally get a hold of myself and realize, why am I scared? Why am I so fearful? Because all of a sudden they started taking toilet papers out of the stores, and I mean, we need toilet paper, you know? I was worried, well, what are we going to do if we need toilet paper? And I kept asking Polly, do we have enough? And she said, we got enough, don't worry. And it took me a week or two probably to finally get a hold of myself and realize, you know, where's fear from? Where does fear come from? Where does worry come from? Does it come from God? Satan, that's exactly right. It comes from Satan. And finally, I got a hold of myself, and I kept watching news clips and videos and so forth on the pandemic that's going on and all that stuff, and it just got me so much more riled up. It just got me so much more frustrated and aggravated at people that are stupid, just idiotic. I mean, literally. It just frustrates me to see that and how they act and how what they were doing, going after things that they thought were going to run out of and just being silly, all in all. But then I just sat down and I just started reading Scripture. Just started reading the Bible and trying to search Scripture where, you know, to be comforted by the Word of God. And, you know, and it has helped. But the key thing is, turn off the news and fear the Lord. And that's exactly what I did. I just turned off the news. And when I did turn it on for a minute or two, all it was about the COVID-19, 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 COVID-19. And I shut it off again. I was aggravated. And then I didn't listen to it for a long, long time. I'd just been listening to what people were saying and kind of a little bit here and there on social media. But then last night I turned it on, the news, just a couple minutes before I went to bed. And guess what they were talking about? Riot, riot, riot. There was not one commercial in the 3 minutes that I watched it, or 4 minutes, however long I watched it. There was not one commercial in that segment of news. All they had was two cameras, one on one intersection in Cincinnati, one on the other intersection in Cincinnati. And the newscaster last night, one thing she said, I mean, so-and-so, the whatever reporter's name was, said, you don't see no, have you seen any windows knocked? Have you seen this? It was like she was promoting it, like they were wanting it to happen. And there was just hundreds of cops all over. And so what are they doing? It's just putting the fear in people. And it just, I turned it off again. And I don't know how long it'll be until I turn it on, but it's all they could focus on is that. Why is there never any positive thing? Why is there never anything about what God has done? Of course, it never is, never will be. But in Psalms 111:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandment, his praise endures forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, in Proverbs 1:7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I like the lesson this morning that Phil did this morning, and how he illustrated how these fools act and so forth in these cities that's going on. Because the true answer to that is like it was in the lesson this morning, that's expected of them. Amen. Like, yeah, that is so right. That's just expected. So, because as I'm standing back here, and I'm living my life, and I'm getting frustrated, I'm getting aggravated, and I'm thinking, man, I just shoot them things. Shoot them for breaking this stuff out. But then again, that's not really the right thing to do. Because what is expected of them? But there's a justice system that needs to be followed. There's a justice system to be followed, and we have law and order that is supposed to take care of that and do that as well. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the folks that came out tonight, Lord, and to hear the message. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this message. Anoint me, Lord, with the Spirit of God, that you may speak through me, Lord, and bless someone here that needs to hear, Lord, as much as I do about being fearful of the world and not being fearful of God. And Lord, we just ask that you'd bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was thinking today, I was writing notes in the service this morning about this sermon tonight that I'm going to preach to you. And I got to asking myself, what is the fear of the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? What does it mean, the fear of the Lord? I mean, there's so many scriptures that you can read about the fear of the Lord. And I'm just going to read a few of them here to you. In Proverbs 10, 27, it says that the fear of the Lord prolongeth the days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And then it says, Proverbs 14, 26, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have peace, shall have a place of refuge. I mean, these are just a small portion of scripture that you can get and you can read to find some sort of comfort if you're looking for comfort, for some sort of peace, if you're looking for some sort of peace. Because when I got a hold of myself soon after the pandemic got started, or when I realized, I don't know about hold myself, but when I realized why I'm reacting out of fear and out of fear and worry, is that is of the devil. It is of Satan. It's not of God. And growing up, my family always worried. My grandma was a worrywart. She would worry about every little thing there is, literally. But it was always the worry type of worry, fearful of something bad happening. And my dad was the same way, and many of my uncles were the same way. And I find myself finding in the same thing. And sometimes it's natural for us as human beings to worry and to be worried about or fearful about certain things, and that's what promotes us to look into things and make sure things are okay, such as when things are happening with your children. But it's hard to just fully not worry and not to be fearful. It's just a human nature thing that we do, to worry. And so first of all, one, God is loving and just. To answer the question, what does it mean to fear the Lord? So we must recognize that God is loving and that he's merciful and forgiving, but he also is holy and just and righteous. And then knowing God and understanding his character means accepting the fact that accepting the fact that his justice and holiness cause him to judge sin, such as purity, which his holiness and justice is purity, perfection, completeness of character, and separation of evil. That is justice and holiness, the fact, accepting that fact. In Proverbs 2:5, it says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find a knowledge of God. And find the knowledge of God. And number two is fear of the Lord can produce awe. Can produce awe. Fearing the Lord means to be in awe of his holiness, to give him complete reverence, and to honor him as a God of great glory and majesty, purity, and power. Have you ever stopped and was just in awe of his greatness? Just in awe of his grace? I find myself many times and can't fathom that he literally died, sent his son and died on the cross that I might believe on him and have eternal life by faith, simply by faith. I find myself in awe many times over that. For example, when God revealed himself to Israelites in Mount Sinai through thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, they all did what? They trembled in fear. They trembled in fear. And Exodus 19:16 explains that. Because of his great power, they trembled in fear. And then they even begged Moses to deliver God's message to them so that they would not have to encounter God himself. That's in Exodus 20:18 and 19. Also, when the psalm writer reflects on God as creator, he says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Psalms 33:8-9. Psalm 33, 8 to 9. Number three, fear of the God, fear of the Lord can produce faith. Fear of the Lord can produce faith. It's because of God's faithfulness that we have faith. True fear of the Lord causes believers to place their faith and trust in Him alone for salvation. For example, after Israelites crossed through the Red Sea on dry ground and saw how God destroyed the Egyptian army who came after them, they feared the Lord and put their trust in Him. They feared the Lord and put their trust in Him. And so the psalm writer encourages all who fear the Lord to trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. And that talks about that in Psalms 115, 11. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. In other words, fearing God produces confidence, hope, and trust in Him. That is what it means to fear the Lord, which are necessary when we are looking to God for mercy and for forgiveness. In Luke 150, 103, Psalms 103 and 11, and for spiritual salvation as well. Psalms 85, 9, it says, surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. And then number four, why is God angry about sin? Why is God angry about sin? Finally, to fear God involves recognizing that He is angry about sin and has the power to punish those who stand arrogantly against Him and break God's laws. And that's in Psalm 76, 7. It can explain that, how that is. And when Adam and Eve sinned against the Garden of Eden, they were afraid and tried to hide from God's presence. You know, Tom preached this morning, a message this morning, and he said that Adam and Eve sinned, yet they were whole. They weren't, however he worded that, but they weren't tempted like we, or they weren't, how did you say that, Tom? They weren't, they didn't have the fallen nature. That's what I was trying to get to. Yes, because they did not have the fallen nature. And so I thought that was interesting because that was something that I didn't recognize or realize. But Moses, he experienced this aspect of the fear of God when he spent 40 days and nights praying for the sinful Israelites. He said in Deuteronomy 9:19, I feared the anger and wrath of the Lord, for He was angry enough with you to destroy you. Then in the New Testament, the author of the letter of the Hebrews acknowledges God's coming, vengeance, and judgment, and then writes in Hebrews 10:31, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So why fear God? The reasons for fearing God are found in the meaning of the fear of the Lord as described what I just explained to you before in those four points. We should fear Him because of His matchless power. Of His matchless power as the creator of all things and all people. He's the creator of all things and all people. And so in addition, the amazing power that He continues to exercise over His creation, including humankind, is cause for fearing God. Exodus 20, 18 and 20, you can read about that. So when we truly realize God's holiness and normal response of humans of the human spirit is to fear Him, which is the purity, perfection, and separation from evil. Revelations 15, 4, it says, who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name, for Thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest. So when we truly realize God's holiness, the normal response of the human spirit is simply to fear Him. And like I said, to fear Him is in His purity, in His perfection, and separation from evil. So anyone who sees or experiences a manifestation of God's glory cannot help but become afraid, such as a physical or visible sign or demonstration of some sort. Matthew 17, 1, 8. The continual blessings we receive from God, especially the forgiveness of sin, is one. In Psalms 130:4, it says, "But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." That thou mayest be feared. And so, especially the forgiveness of our sins is what we should be a continual blessings. Think about that. Have you been in awe about that in itself? That we need to be continuously thankful, continuously blessed because of just that alone in the forgiveness of our sins. Should it lead us to fear and love Him continuously? Continuously, just in that alone. And so above all, the fact that the Lord is a God of justice who will judge the human race should be reason enough to produce a godly fear. That alone should give us enough to produce that fear. And so it is sobering and absolute truth that God is constantly aware. He's constantly aware of our actions and motives, both good and bad. Every bit of it, good and bad. And that we will be held accountable for those actions, both now and on the day of our personal judgment, will be both held accountable. So how will it affect us by fearing God in our lives? The fear of the Lord is far more than a biblical teaching we know, principle, or even a simple idea. It's more than that. It is relevant to our daily lives in many ways. And I got 6 points here how to get started, how to become we become obedient. First, we truly fear the Lord. We have to fear the Lord. We will obey His commands. And then we'll live according to His word. And say absolutely no to sin. That's what we'll do as born-again believers. That's what we'll do is no to sin. One reason why God inspired fear in the Israelites at Mount Sinai was so that they might learn to avoid and reject sin. Are we like that? Is sin so tempting out there that we still do a little bit here and there? And He did it to the Israelites also so that they would obey the law. To reject the sin and obey His law. Exodus 20. In His final address to the Israelites, Moses repeatedly connecting fearing God to serving and obeying Him. Repeatedly. So according to the psalm writer, fearing God is equal to delighting in His commands and following the principles of His law. In Psalms 119:63, it says, "I'm a companion of them that fear Thee and of them that keep Thy precepts." So Solomon taught that through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. Proverbs 16:6. Then in Ecclesiastes, the whole duty of the human race is summarized by two simple requirements. Fear God and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12:13. On the contrary, anyone who is content to live wickedly or defy God does so because there is no fear of God before his eyes. In Psalms 36:1-4, I want to just read that because I found that pretty amazing. Psalms 36:1-4. Let's see here. I want to get it in. Psalm 36. I didn't write it down here, so I got to go to it. "The transgression of the wicked saith within thy heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes." What's happening today? There's no fear of God before their eyes. Not one. "For he flatters himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has left off to be wise and to do good. And in 4, he devises mischief upon his bed. He settles himself in a way that is not good. He abhors not evil." What are we experiencing today? Just like Phil said in his teaching this morning, what can you expect of them? Because they're lost heathens anyways that need Jesus Christ. Every one of them. Every one of them, every one of us that are lost and broken, that needs that. And we still need it, even when we're saved, we need Jesus. That's the only way we get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. The only way we get to heaven. And number two is we teach our children, not only should the fear of the Lord affect individuals' lives, But it should also affect families. The fear of God should affect families. God instructs his followers to teach their children to fear him by training them to do what? To hate sin and to love God's commandments. To love God's commandments. And we know that the Bible often states that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's just many scriptures that I got marked down here, knowing what the fear of the Lord is, how it is the beginning of wisdom. A Christian basic goal for his or her children should be that they learn to live by God's principles of wisdom. Proverbs 1 to 6. Let's see here. I'm going to read that as well. Proverbs 1. 1 to 6. Says, the proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive their instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to live subtly, to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb, the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. That's in Proverbs 1. Verse 1 to 6. So teaching them to fear the Lord is a critical first step to our children. To teach them the fear of the Lord. Number 3. We grow in sanctification. The fear of the Lord has a sanctifying effect on God's people. Just as applying the truth of God's word does, such as purifying, separating from sin, spiritually maturing. It compels us as believers to hate sin and avoid evil. And it causes us to be careful in what we say. Are you careful in what you say? Everything that we say, people hear. Every decision that we make today will affect us later in life. Every words that we say will be heard, will be said too. I know just a little bit about how we have to be careful what we say, because our children hear what we say. And one thing that Paul and I strive to do, and that is not to cuss. We won't cuss. We won't say any words that are improper or whatever. And we learned from the Gabber family that you don't say somebody's called fat. You call them fluffy. And so we tried to teach our kids that they're fluffy. And so people are, I don't say that people are fluffy, but we just got to be careful what we say. It's a But we learned that from them, and we just learned a lot of things in what we say. And so a couple weeks ago, our storm door shut real hard, and it came past the closer strip. And I was trying to open it, and I'm like, well, shoot. I couldn't get this thing open, and finally I pushed it open. I might have said it one time. I remember saying it. And a couple days later, it did it again. And here was Malachi with a screwdriver, and he was doing it. Shoot, shoot, shoot. And my wife said, why are you saying that, Malachi? I said, well, Dad said that, and it opened up. So we have to be careful what we say. And I realize I can't even say that. I mean, like, they listen to everything that we say. And Malachi, he goes with me to work sometimes, and he'll bring his little toolbox that I got for his birthday. And one time I was over at our neighbor's there, my cousin, where he was building the house, and I said, hey, he came over there, and I wasn't paying attention. All of a sudden, I noticed him. He went over to the toolbox and got something out, and he was giving orders, because he went with me to work a couple times and he saw me give orders. So he's learning well, Tammy. He's learning well. So anyways, we worship wholeheartedly. Number 4 is we worship wholeheartedly. The holy and the reverent fear of the Lord motivates God's people to worship him with their whole being. People who truly fear God will praise and honor him as Lord of all. Do you praise God and honor him as Lord of all? David said that a worshiping congregation is the same as those who fear God. And so at the end of history, when the angel who proclaims eternal gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, calls everyone on earth to fear God, and then immediately adds, and give him glory. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea, and the springs of water. That's in Revelations 14, 6 and 7. And then number 5 here is, there is a promise reward. There's a promise reward. God has promised to reward those who fear him. Why wouldn't you want to fear him? Because I would love to have his rewards. It's just rewarding alone just to have the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God in itself, which we don't deserve. We absolutely don't deserve that. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Proverbs 22:4. Other promised rewards include security and protection from death. Security and protection of death. Provision for daily needs and a long life. Proverbs 10:27. Then those who live in reverent awe of God know that it will go better with God-fearing men regardless of what happens in the world around them. Is that the kind of fear that you have? You know, when I shut the TV off, shut the news off, and I enjoy my family, I am so rewarded. So blessed. I am so blessed that God has given me a wife and a family, and I can enjoy them. Try to take that junk out of your head, that news, that stuff. It takes you down, and you get to worrying, you get to being fearful. It just does me better not to worry about it, and that's what I tried to do. Lastly here, number six here is we gain a humble confidence. So fearing God brings a humble confidence and overwhelming spiritual comfort. Have you ever found that? Do you find that to be true? Because the New Testament directly links the fear of the Lord with encouragement of the Holy Spirit. With encouragement of the Holy Spirit, Acts 9:31. So those who do not fear God will have little or no sense of his presence and protection. None. Well, little. However, those who fear God and obey his word will have the best of experience and protection from God. A lot of people, I believe, would believe that this is the tribulations, which I don't believe so. I think that is yet to come. But that's why we need to enjoy life to the fullest right now. Because again, like Phil said this morning, what is to be expected of the lost out there that is doing what they're doing? So those who fear God and obey his word will experience a deep sense of spiritual security and the anointing, which is an empowering of the Holy Spirit. Of the Holy Spirit. They can be sure that God ultimately will deliver them from death. They can be assured of that. You can be assured of that you'll be delivered ultimately from death, from that second death. You will not go to hell if you're born again. You will know that you're going to heaven only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm done. Pastor, if you want to come up, you can do the invitation. But thank you again for having me here tonight. It was an honor. God bless.